Hi and welcome to The Light Leaders, a podcast for light workers and conscious entrepreneurs who are passionate about raising the consciousness of our planet and take action to make it happen. I'm your host, Alexis Lember, and I believe that we are currently in the middle of a global awakening of humanity, that right now is the time for heart-centered conscious people to step into our power so we can replace the old paradigm and bring the conscious new earth into manifestation. So here, I'll interview a variety of people who lead this movement of creating this new earth, whether they do it through a meditation course, a conscious podcast, or an ethical cryptocurrency. I call them light leaders. If you resonate with our mission, please help us spread the message by sharing this podcast. We're having more and more content getting censored, so we need your help. Make sure to stay in touch also by registering to our newsletter on thelightleaders.org. If you hear little nuggets you love and you'd like to share, screenshot this episode and share on your Instagram stories, make sure to tag us at The Light Leaders Podcast and we will repost. Do you know what is probably the most valuable resource in the modern world? It's your data. Companies like Facebook, Apple, or Google, they're worth hundreds of billions of dollars because they spy on you 24/7, collect everything they can about you and sell your data to advertisers. They also use this data against you to get you addicted to their platforms so you spend more time on your screen and more to censor certain opinions and whistleblowers. Now, what to do? Well, I always prefer to look at solutions. And there is a phone that runs on its own operating system that is based on encrypted blockchain technology, not Google or Apple. It's called the Clear Phone. With the Clear Phone, you own your data and choose what you want to share with apps and service providers and potentially be rewarded financially for agreeing to share your data. To learn more, visit thelightleaders.org/clearphone. And you can also become a brand ambassador for them like I am. Hi, and welcome to this new episode of The Light Leaders. Today, I'm with Siddhartha Luciano. As a child who spent many of his days living in the Amazon, his first lessons in life were understanding our intrinsic connection to nature and our planet. As he climbed the trees, he felt the earth under his feet and swam in the rivers. Even though it was child's play, there was so much knowledge exchanged in those moments. Moving into adulthood, he was again drawn to spiritual science and yoga. He began his studies to be a doctor, learning about how our body mechanically works. This was just the first step. From there, he went on to study yoga, Ayurveda, quantum science, astrophysics, herbalism, Western and Chinese traditional medicine. Siddhartha is a title and means sage. Thank you so much. I'm super happy to have you on the show, Siddhartha.
I'm very honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
And you're really a bridge, I feel, between science and the very rational world and a connection to spirit. And that's what we'll talk about a lot today, which is the science and the codes behind spirituality that you understand very well. But first, I'd like to ask you, what are you grateful for today?
I'm always grateful for life itself. Life is a miracle. And to be alive is an incredible treasure. Mm. So I'm grateful for being alive.
Thank you, Siddhartha. And to give a bit of context to the listener, I'd love to understand what's like your why? What are you mainly passionate about bringing into the world and how your actions bring that into manifestation?
Well, you could say as human beings, we're playing the game of forgetfulness. So we are the creator in that which creates life in action and in its infinite expressions. So in all these individual, vessels that we inhabit that we call human beings or the different egos and perceptions that we have there, it is therefore to basically remember who we really are. And that's just a journey full of like adventures and discovery. And that is basically what also like, you could say it's very like a child that just opens his eyes at the first time in this world and starts to just be very curious about how does this really work and what can I do with it? And that is basically how I live my life. As present in the moment of the, you could say, the first stillness, and as chaotic in the myriads of all that was created at the same time, with the curiosity of a child. Mm. That's basically it.
And you're definitely very curious, and that led you to learn in depth and also the explanation of what's behind things that can seem to people woohoo or not grounded. I can think of, for example, sacred geometry. I remember when, if you want to share about the flower of life, and for example, for the anecdote, when I chose the logo of my podcast, the Sri Yantra that's here, I asked you if it wasn't something that was deceitful in a way, as some are. I'm also wearing your organite, actually. And yeah, I love how you can explain how these things work too.
It is, I don't really want to deeply go into things that polarize our communities or our minds too much. You could say that creation needs a certain template to build things. It's like when you build a house, you have a blueprint for it. So you can build reality constructs, like what we call our world is a reality construct that is based on a, you could say, a programming code. It has a code behind it, and the code has certain variable freedoms in it. So it comes out different than you expected, but there's still kind of a template behind it that is the structure of the universe. Now, from that, you could say you have different templates. Some templates are creating life in its most balanced way, and some of them are creating life where there are aspects more dominant and aspects that would create life that looks like other organic life, but in fact do not sustain themselves. So they need to feed off other systems. And so you could say some templates create life that are eternally, because they flow energy in a way that basically uses as much as it creates. And some templates are taking energy without creating enough energy back into the system. Mm. So those systems at some point become problematic. And you could say that the genetic code of life is embodying those templates. Now, beings that run those templates that are, you could say, the balanced form, and those who we would say create eternal life. The eternal life doesn't mean you stay in one life form the rest of your whole being, but you transform into different aspects of it, but without destroying the original template. And there's other templates that are destroying other templates that were created before them, or in linear time aspects, we would say before, and they become parasitic to it. And so not everything that we call sacred geometry is really sacred geometry. And that can, you know, it can create a lot of discussions in the field. And I don't think it's necessary to go into deep discussions. People sometimes become almost religious fanatics about their spiritual thing. That's not how I see life is really about. Really, life is in my opinion about creating harmony and balance, and anything that goes against that is basically like, let's say, taking life, right? So I think it's important to see that the universal source has many aspects of expression, and all these aspects, whether they are harmful at some point, can be brought back into balance. And the art, you could say, to deal with that is what we call compassion. And the way of living to actually make that happen is forgiveness. And the art of bringing those templates or those distortive expressions of templates that would not create this balance is what we call healing. And so one of my biggest arts is healing. And I think many of those who are just starting on the spiritual journey start with healing, because it also makes people aware of who they are by going internally and see, okay, what is going at this moment not the way I want to have it, and how can I focus this on what do I want, and how to manifest that in a way that doesn't harm other beings.
And talking about healing, what are your favorite modalities?
Well, I'm not a person directly that would encourage any modalities, because modalities can create routine, and routine can create ignorance. I think in anything, in any very unique case, and every person has a very unique case, it is important to become self-aware. First of all, how does my being, how does my body, how does my whole expression of the divine self functions when it is healthy, when it is balanced? When people are aware of this, then they can also see, okay, what is going wrong in my system? And that can be a very, unique, individualized journey, how to become whole again. When we would take a modality, modalities have other parameters to them sometimes. Sometimes there's a commercial background that needs, you know, people have done their work in this kind of a setup template that we have now in the world. And then sometimes that modality can actually not really function to its full potential because it has now restrictions and limits, whether it would be profitable or whether it can be done in a certain way by repeating what other people tell you, or, you know, what has been written in books. This is not really, in my opinion, a real path to healing. Every human being, every person has a very unique key to its own expression, its soul, and to its path of healing. Mm. And any good healer would basically first listen to a person, then reflect, and then try to find out how can we solve those things that are limiting or blocking you on your path.
Yeah, I definitely hear you on that. And let's say, what are examples of tools maybe you've used that you found worked well and that you have used a lot?
Well, there's tools on levels of different levels of consciousness, right? You know, the highest form of medicine I know of is tuning you back into a level of consciousness that is basically not prone to distortions. So if you would see the human anatomy, for instance, the human anatomy has five different density levels, just to, at this moment, to start with. There's always more, and I'm not saying absolute truth. I don't think any person can ever say absolute truth, because real truth of this highest order is stillness. It's beyond audible sounds. Mm. So what I'm saying is just giving you a little model to work with. Now, from this model that many of the, you could say, cultures on this planet have adapted. Even scientific societies are using it, but they are using it with their own language.
Right? The model of the five densities?
The five densities, yeah. So you could say that we are most familiar in this time of life on the planet with physical expression. So the most dense level. And how it happened, what you can call this a natural process of falling asleep or something that has been has occurred because of manipulation, it's all basically the same situation. We are in a state where we are only identifying ourselves mostly with physical expression. Now, that's just one density. There are four more densities that create a human expression, a human life. Yeah? What people call spirit, scientifically you would call plasma. Plasma is spirit. Yeah? And plasma has also five different densities. Again, I'm just using a model here. Five different densities that we could say is the expression of spirit. We have the gross material level of what we call physicality. We have what we can say an astral body, which is happening on protoplasma. It's still dense, but it's not as dense as physical matter. Then we will have a level where the thoughts are happening, which are the ectoplasma.
And that's part still of the second density.
This is three densities already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gross material. Yeah. Mm. Telluric plasma, protoplasmic, ectoplasmic. These three can function perfectly for a while without, you know, having to deal with what's beyond that. But the thing that creates these are happening beyond that. And that's hydroplasma and thermoplasma. Now, in yoga science, you would call these five the koshas. Yeah? So the dense is anamaya kosha, and then you have pranamaya kosha, manamaya kosha, viannamaya kosha, anandamaya kosha. All these different sheets, densities, create a human vessel. But four of these are mostly basically inactive in most people at the time. So when, for instance, in cultural things that we now think that are mostly based either on fantasy or, on mythology and stuff like that, if you would know spiritual science to more detail, you would see that many of these things that people still either, you know, express in their paintings or in their songs and so on, are based on, yeah, scientific truths. If somebody would have a more active astral body, you would see him as ghost-like. If they would have, let's say, a very high active ectoplasmic body, you would almost see like a flame body around it. So when you see, for instance, like a painting of a saint, of a Buddha, or something more divine, you would see they always paint like a very vivid kind of flame body around it. This is a very real truth for someone that is, you know, aware of the spiritual sciences. But we live in an age where these bodies are mostly turned off. And that means that our what we call DNA, which is the key to unlocking the different levels of consciousness, is wildly inactive. That's why scientists nowadays call this junk DNA. But actually, it's not junk. It's basically the best part, probably, of us. Mm. Is unlocked, unrealized potential. And this is what a spiritual seeker basically unlocks on this path. The unrealized potential. And that's a great adventure, actually. Because you were once already there. And now you fell down to a lower state of consciousness, and now you're going to wake up again to your divinity. This is a happy thing, basically.
Mm. You said four of them, they're mainly turned off for most people. How do you turn them on?
Well, you turn them on by remembering yourself in when those states were on. Now, that's easy said, right? So there are so many different levels of pathways to this. You know, a lot of people speak about enlightenment, and when they speak about enlightenment, it's mostly like a very soft version of it, where they basically say that you would be enlightened if you, let's say, be very smart, very compassionate, and stuff like that. But they are not talking about that it is also a biological embodied path. It doesn't just come with being very compassionate or very intelligent. It comes also with a lot of physiological changes, biological expression. Yeah, you're literally a person that is enlightened to a certain level would actually give light when they walk outside, you know, in the dark. You would see them coming because their plasma body would be, yeah, to us now, radioactive in a certain way, but they would create light with their beings that we could see. Mm. Now, there have been different parts on the planet during this age where we have fallen into a state of, you could say, deep sleep, deep ignorance, only, identifying ourselves with the physical reality. And on this journey here too, is because the disconnection has happened, there has been also a corruption in attitudes. So some of the beings that have held a little bit more knowledge than others, instead of being, let's say, honest, have fallen to behavior of control and also exploit and misinformation. And that's something that just also naturally happened. A true being on the path at some point must embody complete compassion and forgiveness, because all expressions of the one source is us. Now, some parts of us that come to a lower state of mind do things that are not that nice, are actually horrible sometimes, but you can't, you know, transcend them by keeping pointing outwards. This is what is happening on the planet at the current state as well. We keep distracting ourselves by pointing outwards. This institute, this thing happened there, this thing in the media, this politics has happened. Mm. So now we're putting all that responsibility outside, because now we're a victim of the outside world. This is a very big trap on the spiritual path. You must find the power not to get too distracted. So I'm not saying to deny what is happening outside, because there must be a change happening outside, but it happens from within. When you take all the energy that you spend on the many discussions and all the social media and everything else, you take all that energy, all that frustration, all that feeling helpless and hopeless, and put that into simply very simple practices of how do I function, right? How can I function properly? Now, something really incredible is that the more you are awakened to a proper spiritual practice, the more healthy you become. So you can directly see if somebody is really on a spiritual path that is pure and balanced, they'll look very radiant. They'll look very healthy. They're most of the time very happy people. They can be empathic and get entangled and feel sad. That's part of the journey, but they will recover quickly. Yeah. So then you kind of see directly, because it's the physical level is not something that should be, you know, seen as something less. The physical embodiment level is actually, you could almost say, it's the prize, it's the crown piece on the divine descendant part, because we first descended into this, right? From a very etheric being into this body. Now, the body will directly express your divine self. It's not something just to be tossed away or to be disrespected. It's something to be enhanced by bringing now the body to, again, an ascension path and not leaving it just behind. You are actually bringing and giving the divine a true higher expression that is actually also able to interact and to experience, you know, experience this individual wonder that we are.
On the last thing you talked about descending, some traditions and people see the process of awakening as an ascension, but almost in a linear way. Like some people say it's their last life on planet Earth. Is that also your view, or do you feel you ascend, but then you choose to descend and you come back?
Yeah, so an ascension doesn't directly mean an ascension to another place. Ascension means ascending into a different frequency level. So all frequency levels are divine, not just the high ones. So lower frequency is important. High frequency is important. What moves those frequencies, that's basically the divine structure. And how that divine core, what we would call in spiritual terms an atmic core or monad, that is basically what stores your individual journey, and your memory banks are in there, right? So how you use low frequency and high frequencies is the art of divine self. You know, it's like cooking up a nice meal. You're not just using very sharp things or very spicy things. You give it a bit of sweet as well, you know? So you make life a little bit more sweet also. And so every way actually how you can move gives you more ways of expression, not just up, also down. And then you can choose, where am I going? Now, the most divine gift that we as human beings have is that will, that choice that you can choose. Yeah, if you only lock yourself, okay, I no need to go up, I need to be off this planet. Why? Just build yourself like you can go and you can come back if you need to. Maybe you have some friends here, maybe you like some places. There's some places on the earth that are nice, right? So you don't have to limit yourself and say, like, okay, this is my last time here. So, okay, maybe I like to see other places after this, but what I want to build actually is a being that has more choice, that has more opportunities to choose from, right? And this gives a person ecstasy. On the arc level, if you have only one choice left, you are super depressed. Maybe not, but just give it a bit of a statistic, right? If you have lots of choices in your life, you have more freedom, basically, right? I'm going to take back a little bit of what I just said, because some people are more happy when they have only one choice, so they don't have to make choices. But in truth, energy-wise, if you have more possibilities in life, it means that you have more ways of expression, and that creates a lot of inspiration for you to move. And normally this gives people that passion, that life force to have more ways of expression.
So you talked about a different vision of what's happening in the world. Do you feel there's an ascension process at the moment of our planet, or at least certain beings?
So there's always both processes. There's always ascension, descension, inversion. There's expansion. It depends also on what part of the world we're at, what beings are in certain places. So it's a little bit more complex than just an ascension. What I think has been meant by this ascension process is the following, is that you know, we haven't really been informed a lot about the life spans of what we call planets. Planets are organic, you know, structures. They grow like a tree, or they grow like a bacteria or like a person. And so a planet moves into different cycles from, let's say, having a very strong magnetosphere, where there's only a central sun that we have as a mantle, with a mantle inside, and then a crust, and then there's inner, you know, atmospheres. But at some point, there is a point for a planet that we call a star activation cycle. So that means that the outer mantle, or the outer atmosphere, will start to activate, and the planet actually becomes more and more like a star. And every being on this planet normally would also move with that, because we are all part of this ecosystem here. So that means in matter of energy frequency, the planet would expand in frequency and into energy. And that would also happen to all of us. And this is what people have, you know, announced as an ascension. Yeah. Now, every species will react to this differently. Some species will take that energy and become, let's say, more etheric. So they will ascend to a higher plane of existence, whether you want to call this the atmosphere up and so on. There's so many beings that live, you know, in different layers of our planet. Or you could say some of the beings will take that energy and become more physical. They actually create bodies that are more advanced physically. Yeah. And so you will have a lot of new species coming into your field in this period. There's already like extensive, like a difference, different bacteria and so on being spotted, and also other beings. And you would see that there are also variations of all of these things. So beings that will have a more advanced body and a higher active spiritual ability on the higher frequencies. So ectoplasmic, protoplasmic. Mm-hmm. So some cultures have announced this, for instance, as dream time. Now, the astral body is connected to the dream time. So it is actually having more vivid dreams, connecting more on those planes of existence. And you will see that some people actually prefer to be more there than here and will leave their bodies to basically embody a different life on a different plane. Mm. Now, not every culture is open to all of this.
It's almost an amplification of things we can see already with our daily choices. I can spend more time meditating and fasting and being in the ether, or going to the gym and working on project and being in that more embodied form. So even on a very physical, like traditional vision of a human being here on earth, we already have these choices. And as you shared, that kind of that expansion of this choice.
Yeah. And when you on your spiritual path also focus on that which is present in the physical, it becomes even more, inspiring. For instance, the different levels of those density bodies that I spoke earlier of have specific connection with different tissues of our body. So the bone structures have different, you know, plasmas connected to them. Our blood has a different level of plasma. Our skin is very much connected to the dream body. Our blood is very much connected to the unconscious level. So the liquids are the subconscious levels. And then we have bone structures, we have nerve systems, we have, you could say the lymphatic system is part of the liquid system. So each one of the liquids in the body has a special affinity with a spiritual expression. Now, when you make that link, and you become used as very conscious, this is a very blissful path, because you will not only have health, but things will become more efficient for you. Your nervous system starts working a lot better. Your blood works better. You're stronger with less muscle, basically, because you have more hydraulic abilities. Your bone structures become more aligned. So it's not just pumping your muscles while your bone can handle it, but it's knowing how to use your bone. And, you know, all of this has been already on the planet. So, for instance, Qigong masters and yoga masters and so on, they use this. They use the different levels of chi, the different levels of prana in the body to do that. You could say to activate those levels that are mostly turned off now. So to activate those levels of DNA that expressed more of the divine, actually.
What you'd call then CDs, right? The kind of what would look like superpowers.
Yeah, what people call superpowers now, in other ages have been normal. Yeah, so you know we all believe that there were dinosaurs and so on the planet, but we don't believe that there were actually human beings or beings that look like human beings that were equally very strong and very intelligent, and could easily throw a big rock away for for a couple of hundred meters, because we don't live in this age anymore. And now, after so many thousands of years, this is just mythology. So we call these, you know, whatever, gods or demons and things from the past. And you can see this in culture. It's still being remembered. Like, especially here in Bali, you can see all the, you know, divine beings. And because also time actually happens simultaneously, those realms still exist right now. And so people that have the connection still with those, you know, timelines would see them as real.
Probably the difference with dinosaurs is because we're so physical that with dinosaurs we find bones and then we create that story and we say this one is true, while the other one we lack tangible physical.
Yes, there is a lot of thoughts. There's enough of evidence. And also be aware that most of these beings, they, when they died, if you're such a high evolved being, you don't leave a physical body behind. So there's nothing to find. There's no bone structures, something to find of beings.
Leave no trace.
They leave no trace. They just basically know how to move their body as a spirit body and move in a plasma body. They leave as a star. They come back as a star, kind of. So, you know, for some people, this is all theoretical. And I'll say, okay, this is maybe for you theoretical, leave it like that. And for some people, they see this and experience this as real. And we should also respect other people's, you know, like a belief system in that. And I just imagine that you know, your body is super healthy. And you are very, like, your nervous system, your brain, everything functions incredibly. You can do math that your computer even can't, you know, do. And you're so physically healthy that you can run a couple of miles and very fast and so on. People will call you a god, right? So yeah. This is some of the ages on the planet. Now we live in a very polluted state and very, let's say, ignorant state. But there will be ages again where we kind of remember again and start to. And there's a large group on the planet actually that is waking up to this and eating healthy again and taking care of their garden, their environment. And that's how you get there, because on this remembering of the divine, you remember that each and everything, each and every expression that we find in our reality is divine. If you treat this with respect and you don't harm and you actually empower things, this is what you do to yourself, basically. So that's how you climb into your divinity, or you grow in your divinity, which is the basic of most spiritual teachings, right? Do not harm other beings. Treat them like you want to be treated.
Yeah, and you talked also about time being simultaneous. We talked about, is there an ascension? And I remember a year ago, you shared with me, probably more than a year ago, a recording from Bashar about 2020 being a crazy year. That was in 2019. But Bashar, he talks a lot about, at the moment, that separation in timelines between, it's not really that the Earth is going in that direction or that direction. It's that depending on your consciousness and where you tune in, there's almost like a separation of a new Earth and kind of an old Earth and probably a spectrum of an infinity of possibilities in the middle. So is that how you see reality also? Is that you tune into this reality that split in a way?
Personally, I don't focus on this.
And to give a bit of context, I'm asking this because in the context of the conversation we've had on focusing on, let's say, what's wrong in the world versus creating your reality, that vision of the world to me goes really into, well, there's no need to fight what's wrong because what really matters is where I put my focus. But sometimes I have a fear that that would lead to some spiritual bypassing.
Yeah. It's very delicate. You have to be discerning of what you're actually doing. So I'm not saying to fight anything on the external, but I'm saying to change your inner way of how you create to create something different on the outside. And so if a couple of million people are fighting themselves on the outside and keep creating that pattern is being, you know, perpetuated. If those millions of people come to a higher level of consciousness, those external forces will also start to change. This is just a very energetic concept. So whatever is on the outside that causes you harm, and I'm not saying they don't exist. It exists, but it also exists because they exist within our subconsciousness. Mm. If for some reason you can change the way you create your daily life, those things will start to change as well. And that's not bypassing. That's acknowledging what's out there, but not feeding into their game. It's not you're not feeding into the polarization and to basically the harvesting of energy that comes from hooking you into external distractions. You keep that energy for enhancing your own being. Mm. And with that comes a lot of things that also involves action, right? But that action is more coming from an internal understanding of how to create things differently than to actually destroy or to fight things on the outside. It and on the spiritual plane, things are less basically time consuming as on the physical plane. You know, a thought can be happening in a couple of seconds, and let's say you have to build something, it needs a bit of time to do it physically, right? So when on the levels of thoughts, there is harmony now where you have, you know, get your mind in such a way that you have created peace in your mind and you know how to organize your thoughts in not to create negative things, hatred or whatever. Now the whole field of our, let's say, planet becomes also more in harmony. And that field again then is being embodied. So over time, those more balanced thoughts and feelings will create a manifestation of a physical reality that is more in balance.
I wanted to ask you also, because we talked about CDs, and I know you use technology also, the same as you know, sometimes in the spiritual past, people renounce the body, renounce possession, renounce technology. And I'm interested in your view on how much maybe technology prevents, like, let's say, silicon, inorganic technology. Inorganic, deep down, everything is somehow organic, but versus our own technology. One example is using a phone coming in the way of our telepathy, and is it using almost a lesser technology in a way that prevents us from having the higher one?
Okay, that's a beautiful question. From a pure scientific chemical aspect, there's more inorganic things. Like you could say, like even air is inorganic. Organic needs an organ structure to be there. Now, if anything that is created respects each other's evolution, I'm for. But if some machines destroy more than they create, or some technologies create more problems in the world than that they solve, then I'm starting to not be so very enthusiastic about it. So let's say you would have a technology that could, you know, enhance your telepathy or be together with it without destroying you. But if something like suppresses it or even prevent you from even discovering it, then I think such a tool is not really one of the things I would love to have. There are beings that, you know, maybe in this lifetime will never even, you know, want to or have to discover what their potential really is, how biological life actually communicates with each other. You know, people talk about telepathy, but telepathy also means that it's not just you're sending something through thin air or something. There's part of why you can do this, but there's beings that, for instance, they communicate through the large streams of microorganisms that are already in the air. So every bacteria, most people have been taught that bacteria are bad things. But bacteria, we have more bacteria in us than normal cells. And these bacteria are communicating with each other. This is one way of actually how we communicate. Yeah, and you will see in very indigenous tribes, people actually, they pass a bowl and they drink all from the same cup because they are sharing saliva. The saliva has microorganisms from every part, every being in the tribe. So they are communicating.
Can I ask you, so when you talked about those particles in the air, so is it a thought wave that travels through them to, for example, my thought waves would travel through that to come to you?
Yeah, the thought wave will need receiver and transmitters. Mm. So maybe to send the wave directly to me, or to send it to me anyways, it will need a medium. That medium in very, very small particles is the crystalline field. That is the first level of expression. That's the hydroplasma field. Some people call this the Christ consciousness of Christ field, but it comes from, because it looks like little crystals. So it's like, we call it a crystalline, yeah, or crystalla. And from there, it then steps down into more tangible structures, subatomic, atomic. From there, we go to microorganisms and so on. But everything is a medium and everything travels through them. Mm. If this air here is not empty, it's full with all kinds of beings.
And in the case of telepathy, do you think it's more that wave, or can it happen also on a quantum level where it doesn't need anything and it's just instantaneous, it doesn't even travel, it's just happens at the same time?
In truth, time and space is an illusion, right? But in the reality field, we have come to accept that there are particles. So quantum means particle. Mm. If there's a quantum field, it means there's the little particles.
Yeah, maybe I misused the term, but I'm referring to, for example, scientific discoveries around quantum entanglement, where things happen at the same time and it feels like they communicate without any space connection.
That's because of the phenomena that, in truth, there's only one single point. We only have that single point spinning in different speeds and angles. So we have an angular rotation speed, and there's a difference between the first point of, let's say, consciousness and the second, which is then the parallel of it. But in truth, it all happens in the same spot. But since our senses are, you know, placed in a way that we perceive things as separate, we live in a way that we see things differently. But you could say, if you look at the periodic table, for instance, from chemistry, there is hydroxygen, right? Hydroxygen has one proton, one electron, and one neutron, right? That's the only particle actually that exists. When it vibrates into its next stage, it will become helium, or it will become another particle. And you can keep on going and you find a whole periodic table of elements, but it's still the same point. So in scalar fields, you will not have that distant. You will have it all happening in the same point. But the paradox is that we experience life also as you are a different person, I'm a different person. Mm. And so then you could also say that there is time space within agreement, right? In that game that we play. Mm. And within that, yeah, there is a medium that is in between things. So the medium in between. It is easier when there is, let's say, a more dense structure. Right? Let's say we are in a swimming pool. And I'm moving a little object, you could see it moving because you know it's water. But now it's air. So air is thinner. So through this air, my voice is moving too, but it's not just moving because there's nothing in between. There is different particle waves that, you know, travel and bring that into your organ so that you can hear it. But that's the medium. And you can bring it to higher levels of, you know, you could say less density, right? So on the more higher level of let's say where there's almost no density, you can say there are scalar fields. There's just one point moving, supposed to move, but it's in one place. And that to a being that is only aware of physicality is like complete like magic, or they don't understand it. But you need something to travel with. Same in your body. The flora of your intestines, the bacteria of your intestines, they create a whole field of energy and the consciousness there. They communicate with each other. You know, they have like different, you know, organs on their outside, so they communicate. That is telepathy. They are actually moving certain energy to a field, a fluid, and this is also an astral fluid. So we can use that, and we are using this, right? And to then discover what we as human beings are capable of without technology and focusing on this, because I have nothing against technology, but if I see that certain forms of technology destroy their environment or violate universal laws, you know, let's say, you are a very peaceful community living in a forest somewhere. And certainly some people put like a telephone mast in your forest, which is emitting all kinds of things, you know, and maybe you're very sensitive to this. You must be able to say, I don't want this because it's violating my way of living. And that's not happening. There is a certain movement of things that is just claiming everything without respecting others. And such technologies are never really, what I say, like beneficial for any growth. It looks like it creates advancement, but that advancement is just very connected to one being and not to the rest. And when it's not connected to the rest, that means that eventually those who are, you know, having a good, profitable thing from it will eventually also have to suffer the negative effects from this, because it simply destroys our environment. A lot of these radiations are killing our insects and birds and fish and other things, and people are getting stressful. So then we have to look, okay, how can we create a world with technology that is also in sync with all biological life? Hence, those things exist.
Yeah, that's the balance and harmony you were talking about at the beginning. Siddhartha, we're going to be close to the end of this podcast. I'd love you to share maybe how can people follow you, and if you have something, a project you want to share.
I usually meet people on the right time. Either they appear in my life or I appear in theirs. I'm actually not the person that needs, I don't need to change the whole world. I'm very humble, simple person in my own way. I love small communities, and to be present in there, I would also encourage more people to also live lives that you can, you know, that you can handle. Be good to your family, be good to your friends, be good to your community. Build organic communities, live with the planet, discover the planet. Don't try to go to, let's say, extreme with pursuing things that you cannot, you know, you can never manage energetically. But grow steadily. And as you grow more energetically, you will also be able to extend it to others. And, you know, I do a lot of things. I make art, I make great things and so on. I'm not here to really create any advertisements for this. I have enough abundance flow in my life. I don't need a lot. And I always meet the right people. And if you're one of those people, and if you're interested to whatever, have a tea with me or go on an adventure or share some thoughts, please be welcome. I think you'll share some of my contact details. And that's basically enough. I believe that we, in our soul core, are the one same being. We are an incredible, beautiful, divine being that is here to explore life, be passionate about this, and this will reflect in your health. So if you live healthy and aware, I am more than happy. And that is basically what I live for.
Aho. Thank you so much, Siddhartha. And thank you to everyone who listened to the podcast.
Thank you for taking some of your precious time to listen to this podcast. If you stayed until the end, I assume it was insightful. So if you like this podcast, please share with friends. Remember that if you tag us in your Instagram story at the Light Leaders Podcast, we will repost. Tell us what you've learned. You can also leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Now, if you want to stay posted about new podcast releases, especially as we get censored more and more on big tech platforms, make sure to join our newsletter and our Telegram. You'll find the links on thelightleaders.org. And feel free to contact me directly too, whether it's for feedback or potential collaborations. Thank you again, and let's co-create the conscious new earth together.